B'shiyas Yisharim, third parak, b've'ur chelkei ha'zehirus. To clarify the different varieties of or divisions of zehirus, hinei ha'rotzeh lefakech al atzmo, someone who takes the heart to introspect, to examine himself. Shtayim heina ha'ashkofas ha'tzrichas lo, he needs two outlooks, two things to examine. Ha'achas, first of all, she'isbonen ma'hu ha'tov ha'amiti, she'ivcha bo adam. The very first thing you have to clarify is what is the true good that I want to choose? Vara amiti shenasimena. What is the true bad I'm trying to escape? And to really understand what is tov ha'amiti and what is ra ha'amiti requires a certain degree of Torah knowledge and diligence in Torah, because that's going to guide you in what's tov and what's not. Vahashnia, the second thing that you have to look out for, al ha'ma'asim ashehu oseh, he has to examine the actual things he does, liros imhei mechal ha'tov u'mechal ha'ra, to determine if they are part of the good or the bad. So the first thing you have to clarify is what is good and what is bad, and then you could determine if the things I do fall into the good category or not. V'zeh b'shas ma'aseh v'shlo b'shas ma'aseh. Now, as far as what you do, that divides itself into two: when you're engaged in the action and when you're not engaged in the action. B'shas ma'aseh, when you're engaged, shlo yaseh shlo ma'aseh mebli sheyishkol oso b'mozneh zehos hayidia. You don't do anything without weighing it first if it's good or bad. When you're not involved, he should think about what he's done, and he should put them in the same scale, and review what he did. Was there anything bad that I shouldn't repeat? And what did I do that was good that I should repeat and strengthen? If he finds in his actions that which is bad, then he has to think about how he's going to avoid it next time. So the Ramchal is structured very scientific, almost, if you will. It's very clear, his structure. You want to be a Zohir. So first you have to know the definition of Tov and Ra. Once you have the definition of Tov and Ra, then I can examine my actions. Do they fall into the Tov category or the Ra category? The actions I do are divided into two sections. There's when I'm doing something, I should make sure to do good and not to do bad. And after I've done them, I review my actions and determine, was that which I did totally good, or was there something bad in it that I have to refrain from next time around? And if there's something good, how do I maintain that and continue it and do it again? If, after my review, I discover that there was something not good in my actions, now I have to determine, what am I going to do next time different to make sure it doesn't happen again? So this takes a certain degree of patience and a certain degree of time to really think about what he does, how he does it, and if I'm going to do it differently next time or not. The dav is that hodiyun chachamim zohom avocha b'amorim. Our Chazal explained this to us when they say, noach lo la'odem shlo nivra yosem ishi nivra. It's better for a person not to have been created than to be created. Like the Mishnah says in the Avos, al kochach atanotzeh, we're created against our will. But now that we are here, yifashfesh b'ma'asav, one should examine his deeds. V'ikidami samsa yimashmesh b'ma'asav, he should feel his deeds. So Ramchal takes this Maimer Chazal and applies it to this description of Zahirus. Yifashfesh b'ma'asav, to examine, yimashmesh b'ma'asav, to feel out. V'sire sheshnei ha'lashonus hem shtei azharos tovos u'milus ma'od, you'll see that these two versions of what was said are both important and good advice, and they're very beneficial. Kihine, ha-pishpush b'maisim ho, lachgar al-klam ha-asim. Pishpush, yifashvesh, examining is a general investigation. Ulis bonibo, to examine in general what he does. Hanimse Maisim Ashaloye Yosef Asher Enim Hochem Apimis Hashem Chukov, are the things he does that he shouldn't be doing because it's against the mitzvah Hashem and his laws. Ki Kol Asher Yimotse Me'eli Vari Menoam. If there's something on that category, he should get rid of them. Acha Mishmush, but we say to feel them out, Hu Acha Kira Afil B'maisim Hatovim Atzmon. That's to flesh out the good things you do. Lachkor v'liroz hayesh bin yonam eze pniya shelo tova. He should examine the good things he does. Is there some motive that isn't good? Or is there anything bad about what I do good that should be eliminated? It's kind of like feeling material. You can only tell by feeling it if it's strong. Will it stand up to the weather and washing? Or is it weak? And is it bolui? Is it perhaps rotted? So too, you should feel your actions. He should examine thoroughly the things he does to know clearly if they're pure and clean. The rule is, people should think about what they do, and oversee his path, not to get used to bad habits, umidura, and bad character traits, koshkin aver fashion, so in not sins. I really believe, says the Ramchal, this should be a daily audit. You should check every day your deeds. Kesacharim hagadoilim, like the big businessmen. They'll constantly evaluate their business transactions that they shouldn't go bad. They set aside times to do this. It's not going to be a haphazard event. It's a set time every day. He's going to check the books, check the sales, and so on. Because there's tremendous benefit from making this daily reconciliation. Teaches explicitly how necessary it is to make such a personal audit. The Moshlim say, the leaders say, let's go Cheshbon. Those who have mastered the Yetzer Hara are saying, let's go make a calculation about how things go in the world. Hefsed mitzvah, k'neged schara. What you lose by doing a mitzvah against how much you gain. Uschara veira, and what you think to benefit from a sin, k'neged hefseir, against how much you lose v'chulu. Vezeh, k'yo eitzah ha-mitis hazos. This absolutely true counsel, this advice. Lo yuch lo seso sov lo liros ha-mitar ela ois m'shva yotzu mitachas yad yitzu m'shlubo. Is only the type of advice that you can tell the truth and importance of it when you have already escaped the grips of the Yetzer Hara. People who are still under the dominion of the Yetzer Hara don't realize the importance of this advice. It's those who have gone beyond and above and are no longer controlled by Yetzer Hara that can give this kind of advice that you should make these cheshbonos. Because the person who is still trapped in the prison of his Yetzer, his eyes don't see this truth. You don't recognize it. The Yetzer Hara literally blinds him. Like walking in the dark, with all kinds of obstacles, you don't see them. This world is pitch black, like night. And you'll understand how amazing is this statement of Chazal for those who delve into its depths. When we talk about dark at night, there are two kinds of errors that your eye will play on you. Your eye will trick you in two things. Either it's so dark you don't see what's in front of you, or you'll see something and mistake it for something else. You'll see a pillar and you'll think it's a person. The Adam, you'll see a person, kilo amud, and really you think it's a pillar. Kane, Chomrius, Vigashmius, Omazet. That's what goes on in this world. In this world, it's like Laila. It's pitch dark. Choshech, Laila. The physicalness of this world, as far as the eyes of the Seichel are concerned, it's pitch black. Vigarlo shtei tuyos, and causes two kinds of mistakes. Ha'achas, one mistake, eina maniach lo shiyo ha-michshalos shebedachi olam. The physicalness of this world prevents you from seeing the stumbling blocks. The fools go secure, like there's nothing scary out there, and no stumbling blocks, and they fall, and they're lost. They're never even afraid. They don't know there's anything to be afraid of. That's what the pasuk says. The path of the wicked is a pitch black. They don't even know how they'll fall. The wise see the danger. They hide. The fool just goes out and suffers. The fool, he doesn't know what's the problem. He goes out with full security. They're sure of themselves. They'll fall before even realizing there was a stumbling block. That's one mistake. But then there's a second mistake you make because of Olam Hazen. It's even more difficult than the first. They see something, a mistake for something else. You see something which is actually bad, but you think it's good. When you see something good, if it's bad, and this only serves to strengthen the bad things they're doing because they think it's good. It's not just that they lack the vision of the truth. They don't see the evil right in front of them. But to the contrary, they go on and find proofs and tests to prove their false and wicked or evil ideas and false philosophies. This is the biggest evil that embraces them and brings them to the depths of destruction. This is what the pasuk says. The heart of the people has become fattened, their ears are heavy. They just turn aside. It's because they're in the dark. And they're in prison of the rule of their yetzer hara. It's a beautiful mashal that Chazal are telling us, Ramchal expands upon the idea that this world is dark. It's choshech laila, and people make mistakes. People make mistakes in this world. And things that they think are beneficial could be very detrimental. And they could convince themselves that these are good things, and they are in fact bad things. And it's a very scary thought, because when something is obviously bad, so you know to stay away from it. But when something you actually believe is good and it's bad, so then you're in trouble, because you think you're doing the right thing. Chazal tell us this happened to Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu was convinced Esav was deserving of the bracha. He was thoroughly convinced of it. And Rivka Imenu knew that Esav should not get the bracha. He wanted to give the bracha to Esav, and Rivka knew, no, it has to go to Yaakov. Yitzchak made a mistake. He thought it goes to Esav. When Yaakov did get the bracha, and then Esav shows up, and Yitzchak realizes that Yaakov got the bracha, the pasuk says, V'yechad chorad gedoli. He began to tremble. Yitzchak Avinu was trembling. Why was he trembling? Rashi says he saw Gehenna open up beneath him. So I believe it's Chaim Shmuel Levitz who explains, why did he see Gehenna open up beneath him? Because Yitzchak Avinu was afraid that if all these years he believed Esau was deserving of the bracha and he was mistaken, in fact, Yaakov was the one deserving, if that's how it worked out, clearly he was the one who deserved it, then maybe he made other mistakes. Things that he thought were right, that which were really wrong. And all of a sudden, he sees Gehenna open up beneath him, because he figures he's going to Gehenna now. Because if I made such an error to believe Esav was a Yaakov, what other errors did I make? So Rivka saved him from that one. But what about the other things he may have done wrong? So Yechad Charad HaGadol, he was terrified. when a person is Oved Hashem, you got to make sure it's the right Avoida. You have to make sure it's the right Avoida. There are people who are misguided. They think they're doing Gevaldik mitzvahs, and they're not. They could be doing terrible things. You see it all around us. You have people who think it's the biggest mitzvah to daven on the Har Habayis. It's a terrible thing. The Gedol Yisrael all say it's terrible. Don't go up there. You're tamei, you shouldn't be up there. You incite the Arabs against the Yidden. Don't go up there. We're in time of Churban Beis Hamikdash. We don't have Beis Hamikdash now. Don't go up on the Har Habayis. They think they're doing the biggest mitzvah. If you read what they write, we are the modern day Mordechai. We are the modern day Chashmonaim. They look at themselves like the biggest tzaddikim. They totally believe in what they're doing. They're totally wrong. They're totally off the wall. Totally wrong. Totally wrong. There are other examples of misguided people like this. And they think they're doing Gevaldik mitzvahs, and they're not. And they're really not. It's very sad. But because they're so caught up in their belief that they're doing the right thing, so you can't convince them that they're wrong. That's the problem. How do you convince that they're wrong? They think they're doing the right thing when they're not. So it's a very scary proposition. But that is what Chazal telling us, the comparison of Omazeh to the dark of night, people make such mistakes. First, you miss things that are stumbling blocks, you don't even realize it, and then things that you can recognize, you misrecognize. You have a mistake in what you're looking at. You don't know if it's the right thing or the wrong thing. Ramchal continues. Ach osam shekvar yotzim in a ma'asar hazeh, but those who have escaped this jail, this prison, they are not under the control of the Yetzer Hara. Heim ro'im ha'emes la'amito, they see the absolute truth. And they are the ones who can tell you, is what you're doing right or wrong? Because who's going to tell you in the end? You think you're doing the right thing. So you have to go to people who are no longer controlled by the Yetzer Hara, and you ask them, should I be doing this or not? You know what it's like? A beautiful marshal of the Ramchal, the Gan HaMavucha, the hedge maze. This is a garden that's planted for fun. You find it by royalty. They plant rows and rows of hedges into walls. And there are paths between them. And it's very confusing. They all look alike. The goal is to reach a porch in the center. There are paths that will take you to the porch. But there are other paths that take you away from the porch. But as long as you're in the maze, you can't see. For the das cloud, there's no way for you to know. Are you on the right path or the wrong path? They all look the same. When you're in the maze, you can't determine if you're on the right path or not. It all looks the same. Unless you've been on the path before, you recognize small telltale signs, and you can find your way to the porch. When a person reaches this porch, he's elevated above the maze. He sees all the various paths. He can look from his perch and tell if it's a correct path or not. He can instruct people who are flabunged and lost on the maze and tell them, Lomar, this is how you should go. If you want to trust the person on the porch, you'll get to the place that you're trying to reach. Let's say you choose not to believe him. You're going to do it on your own. You're going to go by your own abilities. You'll certainly be lost for a long time. You're not going to get to where he is. It's the exact same thing. So one who does not control his yetzer, you're still in the maze. You can't determine what's right and what's wrong. Acha moishlem beyitzam, only those who master their yitzam. Shkar higiyu alachsad, they've reached the porch. Shva yotzu minashvilim, they've emerged from the maze. V'ra'u kol drachim l'nei bever, they see clearly all the various paths. Hemichom liyayetz l'misha yirtzeh lishma, they can counsel those who wish to listen. Va'aleihem tzrichim anu l'ha'amin. And I did double underline that, or you'd highlight those four words. Va'aleihem tzrichim anu l'ha'amin. We must trust them. We must trust them. We cannot on our own figure out what's right and wrong. You have to trust those who are past it, who are not in that Nisayon. They're the only ones who can guide you. You want to do it on your own? You're going to take wrong turns. You go to those who can give you advice. They can help you, and you have to believe in them. We have a term for this. It's called Das Torah. You know, there's a whole world of people who say there's no such thing as Das Torah. It's terrible. There's a world of religious Jews who think there's no such thing as Das Torah. It's a made-up invention of a Agudas Yisrael. A Agudas Yisrael made up Das Torah, there's no such thing. What's the Ramchal saying? They say, learn the sugya, decide for yourself. You don't need any rabbi telling you what to do. There's no such thing as Das Torah. Learn and decide. Ramchal's not saying that. Ramchal isn't a student of the Agudas Yisrael movement. Das Torah precedes Agudas Yisrael. Only the Gedolei Yisrael who have emerged from the maze can tell you what to do and where to go. And if you listen to them, you'll go the right way. If you don't listen to them, who knows where you'll go? Va'aleihem tzrichin anu l'ha'amin. We must put our faith in them. Va'omna mahya eitz Hashem knows to us. So what is the eitz that they tell us? Bo'u cheshbon, make a cheshbon. Look at a cheshbon of the world. They've told us the only true and tested way to reach the true path, the true goal, to reach good, is to make cheshbonis. Zihirus. The rule is, you should constantly be thinking. Because man, who is man, kavula b'spodes, he should set specific times to think about it. Mahu aderech amiti, l'fichol ha-Torah shel nesarech lechbo. What is the true path of the Torah that we are supposed to travel on? V'achach yo l'spon al-maisav im-heim al-derech im-lo. Then you could consider, are your deeds consistent with this truth? Ki adizev adai shilo nekel l'torah b'kol ra'al yashe kol dorach. If you do this, it'll be very easy to purify yourself from evil and to straighten out your path. Look, Masha Kosev Omer, like the Pasuk says, Pales Ma'agel Raglecha, you should consider your path, V'kol Durchecha Yikonu, and your ways will be set. V'Omer Nachpasta Durchinu Achkarun Hashu V'al Hashem, we will examine our ways and investigate and return to Hashem. When someone is sick, Lo Aleinu, they go to the doctor, right? They try to figure out for themselves what's the best therapy. What should I do to get better? They're going to decide on their own. You're going to go to a doctor. Some people don't go to doctors. They go on the internet and look online, decide for themselves. That's silly. You go to a doctor who sees you, who can determine what's going on with you, and tell you this is what you should do. So we do it with gashmis like that. If someone is serious about investing money, you go to a stockbroker with a good track record. He'll tell you what's a good investment, what's a bad investment. For gashmis, we rely on people all the time. Whether it's for our health, whether it's for our finances, we go to people who know what they're talking about. And we ask them for advice. And they guide us. And they counsel us. And we listen to them. When it comes to ruchnis, all of a sudden, no, we're going to decide on our own. I'm not going to ask a shayla. I'm not going to, what's the rabbi's business? What I do. It's not his business. I can figure it out on my own. Make a big mistake. It's a big mistake, yes.
I mean, if you consult a doctor or a psychologist or a stockbroker or something, and they suggest that you do something that you're not comfortable with, they usually get a second opinion. So
Can you get a second opinion in Torah?
Considering that it's not really, it's a lot more problematic to get a second opinion as far as Torah is concerned, it makes sense that people are less...
Why is it problematic? If someone goes to the doctor and is not comfortable with what the doctor tells them, so we say get a second opinion, right? And if you don't like the stockbroker tells you, you might get a second opinion there too. Let's say you go to the rabbi and you're not comfortable with what he said. So people will call and say, listen, I'd like to meet with you. You tell the rabbi, I spoke with Rabbi so-and-so, this is what he told me. I'm not comfortable with that. Is that right? Do I have to do that? Do I have to do that? Get a second opinion. If you're up front and you say and explain what you've heard, then you're fine. It's when you don't say that I went to get another opinion. And that's when it gets tricky. That gets tricky. But if you tell someone that you went and you got advice, I think that there's nothing wrong with that. And sometimes the second person can clarify what the first person meant. Sometimes they're sure something was misunderstood, and they can perhaps contact the first person and get clarification. And it happens a lot. I don't see any difference. If you're not comfortable with what you heard from the first one, you could bounce it off someone else. I tell people in shiurim all the time, if you hear something in a halacha class that sounds odd or strange or something I've never done before, call someone and ask. Call someone and ask. It could be you misheard. It could be misunderstood. There could be a lot of explanations why it came out sounding the way it did, and maybe it meant something totally different. Don't just, oh, I heard in a class, that's what he said. Even though I've never done that, don't know anyone has done that, but that's what he said. It could be you misheard, it could be it was misspoke. There's so many reasons to explain. And I've had this many times. A person once came to me with a psak he got in New York. He said he's doing this and this. I said, why are you doing that? You're not allowed to do that. My rabbi in New York said, you're allowed to do it. I said, there's no way your rabbi said you could do that. We do a very serious thing. There's no way your rabbi in New York ever said you could do this. I don't believe it. He called the rabbi back, and the rabbi was horrified. I never said you could do that. You thought I said that? So that was a bad case. It's not always that terrible, but the point is, sometimes you'll hear something and you're sure you heard one thing, but this sounds weird or odd or different or wrong. So I encourage people, check it out. Check it out. Call someone else and just get clear. Is this accurate? Did I hear right? Did he say it right? Is there something missing from the thing? Absolutely. And in a matter of life choices and direction and things like that, there's also an option. Listen, not everyone likes to hear the truth either. A couple came to me, engaged. And they wanted to discuss something. And I made it very clear that their ideas were wrong. What they were planning was wrong. And it's not the way the Torah wants them to do. They never came back to me again. I don't know if they went to another rabbi or not. I don't know if another rabbi would have said different than I did. But they chose not to listen. It's okay. That's a choice. You don't want to do, you don't want to do. If you want to do what you want to do, you do what you want to do. I can't force people to do things. But I'm not going to tell people to do things wrong just because they want to do things wrong. So they don't like to hear what they hear. They're not comfortable with my answer. Okay. Not everything is comfortable. Sometimes things are comfortable. Sometimes things are not comfortable. If they found someone else who said it differently, ma tov. I once had a terrible situation. Terrible from my perspective. There was a woman who was finishing medical school and wanted to be an obstetrician. So she applied for a program to get into the program. And she was accepted. So she makes an appointment with me and asks me what I do at Shabbos. So I said, well, when you applied for the program, did you tell the director that Shabbos is an issue, I can't show up on Shabbos and whatever? She says, no, I didn't. I said, why didn't you? She says, I wanted to get accepted. If I would have said Shabbos is a problem, I wanted to get accepted to the program. So I said, you told me Shabbos is no problem? I said, yes, Shabbos is no problem. I said, so what am I supposed to do for you now? Shabbos is a big problem. Shabbos is a big problem. And she went and told him there's no problem. Now she's coming to me, what am I supposed to do? So I was pretty irritated with her because I think she was totally wrong. I tell any medical student who's applying for a program, you got to be upfront. You got to be straightforward. You got to tell them. I spoke to doctors about it all the time. You have to be upfront. You got to tell them upfront, this is an issue for me. Will this program work for me or not? That's it. You got to be upfront. You can't play games. So in the end, I told this person, I have nothing to help you with. I cannot help you. I think your whole approach was wrong. And I contacted someone else who's close to this woman. And I said, listen, this is what happened. And I can't help her. I really think she did wrong by saying Shabbos is no problem. Now Shabbos is a problem. But I don't want her going through life thinking she's just a Mechal Shabbos person. So I gave a mutual friend, a mutual person to contact her, the name of a rabbi who I believe will matter for her everything. Now, I don't believe this rabbi is correct in what he does, but I know he does this. He's not local. And I said, let her call him. Tell her to call him. It was just bothering me after that. I didn't think about it at the time. Let her call him. Let at least someone tell her that she's okay doing what she's doing. Instead of, Rabbi Asmer said, I'm not allowed to do this, and now I'm doing it anyway. What kind of person am I? Which is the problem, exactly. Like, what are you doing? What are you setting yourself up like that? So I don't know what happened at the end. And this person did make the connection, whether or not she did call this other rabbi in the New York area or not. I don't know if she did or didn't. But in other words, there could be different ways if she, I'm saying one mahalach and this other fellow in New York saying a different mahalach. I just think that people won't always be happy with what they hear. And you could get a second opinion and they make it same opinion as the first. Or maybe you won't. Or maybe you won't. So I don't think, I think people hesitate to ask because they think we could decide for ourselves. Or maybe, like you said, they're afraid to hear the wrong thing, and that's that. But we go to the doctor, again, we don't like to hear bad things from the doctor either, but you got to go. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Shechon Avacha, would field questions to run the gamut of Shulchan Aruch. And he spoke publicly on numerous occasions. Why is it that no one asks me where to send my kids to school? That's more important than, is it mutter to dip a tea bag in a klishen or klishlishi? It's more important than, can I use one oven for milchus and fleishiks? It's more important than, is this a heter on Pesach or not, or zechametz? All the questions they ask me, but they don't ask the most important question. What is proper chinuch for my children? What school should I send them to? Now you would think, isn't that something everyone decides for themselves? I decide for myself. I want my kids to be a certain way. I see myself a certain way. So I want a school that fits into my idea of what I want for my family. Rav Moshe Feinstein would publicly say, these are the biggest trials, and no one asks, where to send your kids to school.
I suspect that people did not ask him that because you would need to take up a ton of the Rav's time for him to make a...
And he made a point of saying, please ask me. And no one wanted to ask him. Now, it's hard for me to know. It's hard.
Your kids are promised to have a 20-minute interview, and they're like, you're not
going to
do that.
Absolutely, you're going to do that. Absolutely, you're going to do that. He felt these are the most important shilas. There are two things he mentioned. He would mention where to send your kids to school and where to give your tzedakah money. Over the years, there's been many issues with both. Tzedakah, I don't know specifically what he's referring to. Is he referring to people sending their money to the Jewish National Fund, the JNF? As opposed to yeshivas in the community. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with JNF. JNF plants trees in Israel. When I was a kid, every school would give money for JNF, and they plant trees. It was a scam. The same person, they could sell the same tree to 15 people. They found out that most of the money went for administrative costs. It did not go for planting trees in Israel. It was a terrible fiasco later on. But when I was a kid, it was a big thing, and give you little cards and plaques, and they'd push it on schools, raise money. Like today, they go for Leva Achim or stuff like that. And those are JNF, Jewish National Fund, Trees in Israel, Help Israel. Some of it helped Israel, but I don't know how much of the money got there. Israeli bonds used to be a huge thing. Every shul would make appeals for Israeli bonds. It was a big thing. Meir Moshe felt better send your money to the local Yeshiva Katana than to Israeli bonds. Again, I don't know for sure what he was referring to, but he said people are misspending their tzedakah money. And when he said that he was upset with people not asking about chinuch, maybe he was concerned that parents were sending their kids to public school instead of yeshivas, because they came to a new country and wanted to make sure their kids had every advantage, which was a problem. A lot of people were like that. In the early days of Beis Yehuda, they would knock on people's doors begging them, send your kids to Beis Yehuda. No, we came from Europe. Our kids need an advantage. They have to go to public school. They have to be integrated. It was from people. These are from people. Shomer Torah mitzvahs, who felt the best thing for their kids is to go to public school. It could be Moshe was referring to that. I don't know if he's deciding between the two chadorim in a town. It could be he was that also. But it could be it was a much more drastic kind of distinction. So we don't know for sure what he was referring to. But his point was, I think like Dr. Amchal is saying, you want to go on a certain path, you want to do what's right, so you have to know what's right, you have to know how to get to the path. You have to seek out those people who are not in the sugya, the ones who are not in the gevedava, those who are beyond it. And they're the ones who could give you good advice. They're the ones who give you good counsel. Those who are still caught up in it cannot give you good advice. They're lost in the maze, the same as you're lost in the maze. You're going to ask someone else who's lost in the maze how to get out? They don't know this, so you don't know. You got to ask someone who's out of the maze. It's a fascinating mashal. I love this mashal. It's one of those, to me, if we'd stop right here, it's a limud. The other will go weiter. But my point is, people should not feel that they can decide for themselves and feel secure that they're doing the right thing. If you want to feel secure, you're doing the right thing. You ask. You ask. And it's that way in halacha thing too. Simple halacha things. People ask, you have to ask these shas. Listen, if you're comfortable that it's okay, you don't have to ask me. If you're not comfortable, then ask. It's okay. And I'll say it's okay, and then you're fine. Then you can sleep all night. If you're not sure if it's okay, not so ask. You know, it's fine. I'll get back to you and say it's okay. And then you'll feel good. In other words, this is what it's about. Are you secure that you know already or not? And if you don't know, then you don't know. Then to ask someone else doesn't know, it's nonsense. Doesn't this happen today in the internet world of blogs? The blind leading the blind. One person doesn't know better than the next person. They're each telling each other what to do. And by the way, it's not just for ruchnis, it's for medicine and God, everything. There's people who makes one person a bigger authority than the next. None of them know what they're doing. So the Ramchal is telling us that when it comes to ruchnis, the only way to really feel secure that you're doing the right thing is by speaking to Gedolei Yisrael who know better. And you may not have access, or the Arish person may not have access to a Gedolei Yisrael. So they go to their Rav, and if it's something he can handle, he does. And if he can't handle it, he'll get access. There are things that come to a Rav that he can't respond to. So I'll get back to you. And he'll either go to the next tier Rav in the pecking order, and sometimes we go straight up to the Gedolei Yisrael. And it may take a few days to get a hold, but they know how to reach them. And then you know you're doing the right thing. So that's why I understand the Ramchal. The Ramchal is telling us that it's very easy to make mistakes in Olam Hazeh. You can mistake good for bad. You can mistake bad for good. You don't even see the pitfall coming your way sometimes. And people who are beyond it can tell you these are the pitfalls you have to avoid. And can tell you, no, this is okay, that's not okay. And they can guide you. So, again, people sometimes are hesitant to ask because they're afraid of the answer. They're afraid of the answer. What if they tell you, no, can't do this? So either you accept it or you don't accept it. And, you know, some people are gavaldic and they say whatever you say goes. And some people will never talk to you again. That's okay. So that's, you know, they'll go to someone else. Hatzlacha to them, you know. That's the way it is. So that's what the Ramchal is telling us. You want to be a Zohir against the... We're still at the first rung. Like, you think this person is the biggest tzaddik in the world? We're at the first rung. We're at the Zohir level, working our way up. And again, as we go through the Sefer, we'll see, a person will not necessarily master Zahirus before moving on to Zrizus, because you spend a lifetime on the first rung. So we just keep on plowing ahead and trying to catch up with where we're at.